See, if we were not limited in space, then we have plenty of space to write on. Very well. One of these days, you know, I'll crack a good joke so that the camera will laugh at me. At what I say. So only the yellow doesn't erase very well. The red mark comes off very well, and only some of them don't. It's color. Amazing. See, I erased that, like you can still see it. But the white erases very well. And the white right stays on my jacket. Right, now we can write something about the angels. I'll like to say things on the board so that it'll be very clear as to what we are saying. The angels are created. So they belong to the created order as human beings do. Number two, they are spirits. Now this time I do not use the word spirit beings because we cannot use the word beings, plural. Spirits, yes. But by that we mean they are not spatial. By spatial we mean they have no body, no parts, no etc. Now, something is either, let me just stop here and explain that point thoroughly so we know what we are saying. I am saying that there is no such thing as a spirit substance. Now, we've got to come to terms with that point. It will take a long time for it to sink in because for a long time, we have taken the name, the word spirit, to mean an essence, or a sort of substance. And we need to come to understand that this is not true. There is no such thing. Spirit means not matter. That's what it means. It does not mean there is some kind of airy substance somewhere. It is not a substance. It is not something extended. It has no, it doesn't, you cannot say here and there with it. It's not like that. And the only examples I can think of from our own lives, because we are not spirit, I cannot produce an example that is an exact parallel. I can say a thought. My thought is not in space. My thought is of the mind. Mind is of the spirit. Right. In other words, you have no access to my mind. You have access to the results of my mind. My mind thinks, my mind works, and the results are in a certain way. So thoughts then are not in space. Not in space. They are not in pieces. Right. You cannot, they are not in inches. You cannot say, I have a thought 13 inches long or 15 feet wide. You cannot talk in terms of feet and inches. When we speak of spirit, that's what we are talking about. Like that. So a thought is of the spirit. There is no substance called spirit. Now, if you think that the angels are, if you think that the angels are not spirit, then we have a problem. Because if they are not spirit, so let me erase that and say, angels either are spirit in the sense of no extension by that we mean in space, because that's the only kind of extension that there is. There is no other extension than space. Now, if you think there is an extension that is in spiritual space, then we are talking nonsense again. So, spirit has no extension. And we said, no parts. No, etc. All the things that we said before. Either they are spirit or they are matter. And if they are matter, then they have extension. They have parts, etc. Now, it's one or the other. You say, well, that's either or. Of course it is either or. There isn't, there ain't nothing else. It's just either or either or, right? So, nothing else. Now, these ain't, let me write another point down here. So, I said they are created spirits, and they are not spatial. And let me write Hebrews 1:7. Ministering spirits. I'll make it so I can see correctly, clearly. Hebrews 1:7. So it depends now on, it doesn't depend on my definition of spirit. It's a matter of education now. Either we understand what spirit is, or I spend a long time at the beginning of the lectures defining spirit. And again, listen carefully and see where I have said all dogs are animals. And Rover is a dog, and I concluded that dog, therefore, the Rover, therefore, is an animal. And find out where there is a mistake, if there is one. That's where it needs to be done. Here, it's once I write the word spirit on the board, everything is automatic. This just unfolds. I don't even think about it. I don't want to think about it, because I already thought about it. Now, I do not wish to think that I have wasted my time. I would like, if somebody thinks that I made a mistake, that's where we have to discuss it, not here. This one says, once we accept that they are spirits, we have defined that they are not in space. So the discussion that we need to have here is not about angels, but in part two of the presentation. We have to go back there. If somebody thinks there is a mistake here, he's got to rewind the tape to part two, listen in part two. And I will not pretend here that I haven't said a thing about it. Right. So, now these angels are ministering, let me write the word ministering, so that we don't lose sight of that. Ministering spirits. But that means that they have interaction, they interact with the created order. Now, see, they are created beings, and they are able to interact with the created order. And of course, I already said, with the created order and with God, because God is spirit. I could put some more things down here, just I'm using up the blackboard. They are powerful. Now, these are not different. I don't put numbers on these, because that's what I mean when I say spirit. When I say spirits, I mean that they are created. I have to put spirits, and I have to. Now, they don't have to. It follows that they have, that's spirits are powerful, and that. And that they are, in one sense, brilliant. When they appear to us, they are brilliant. Now we can go to three. I could borrow some of these ideas and put them down there. I could say, as created, as created, that's in line with point number one. I'll put that number one in. Let me erase it from here and put it down below. That way, I save blackboard. Three. As created. See number one. They interact with all creation. Number four, as spirit. In line with two, and by that I do not mean a spirit. I mean two. So I mean they are not. That means they are not spatial, and they have no body, and they no parts, etc. That's what I mean when I say two. Right? They are immortal. And if you want a scripture for that, Luke chapter 20 and verse 34, verse 34 to 36. Now let's read that one. Luke 20. And Jesus answering said unto them, the children of this world marry and are given in marriage, but they which shall be accounted worthy to obtain that world and the resurrection from the dead neither marry, nor are given in marriage, neither can they die any more. They cannot die any more, for they are equal unto the angels. So they are equal unto the angels. And the angels do not die. Number five. As created, Again, we say with number one, they are sustained by God's will. By God's will. So again, that means all you have to do, God wills, if God wills it, they will be out of existence. Will they die? No, there'll be nothing to die, because God will them out of existence. They don't even die. What if God wills man out of existence? Will man die? No, he won't, because there'll be nothing to die. To die means to have a lot of pain or something similar to that, some kind of dysfunction or malfunction in the body, which will end up in sort of consequences, physical consequences, such that would separate the body from the spirit. The spirit returns to God, and the body returns to the ground from whence it was taken. That's what it means. That's what we mean by dying. Number six. As in the rest of creation, there are various orders. Orders of angels. And in the New Testament, those are called, I already explained that, Patriae, that's in Ephesians 3:15 and Ephesians 6:12. There you find about, talks about principalities. There are in heaven and in earth and so on. There are various orders of angels. Now, the families you talked about, there are different kinds of angels. See, now, so see, at the moment, I'm trying to think what somebody might present against this picture so far. I can't imagine anything unless somebody tries to say, well, all these angels are really one spirit. I haven't argued that position yet. I'll come to it in a minute. But let me continue. Seven. They are all, the orders are subject to God's will. When I say subject, I don't mean this kind of sustained, I mean subject. God decides what they have to do. They take orders from God, in other words. And you will find something like that in Colossians 2:10. Now let's read that one. And ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. In other words, if you find any particular authority anywhere, and all principality and power, he is. In him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. So here is God, in other words, is in charge. And these are created beings, and they are all subject to God's will, God's desire. If God wants to, that's why in Job, Satan goes before God, and to seek permission from God in order to afflict Job. Can he afflict Job without it? No, he cannot. You must not imagine that angels can do whatever they jolly well please. we have a distorted view of that part of creation. And when I say we, I mean everybody around. Everybody is because it's something we fear. People are afraid of the unknown. It's very difficult for us to conceive of an angelic order of something that is not consisting of in space and time and bodies and things like that, because we think naturally in terms of body. We say, you look at bees and say, one bee here, another bee over there, another bee over there, and we think that all things are that way. But when I mention the word thought, I say, my thought, I have many thoughts, and one of them is not here, and one is over there, and another is somewhere else. That's not what happens. I have many thoughts. You say, well, but that's not the same. Well, see, we have a difficulty because we don't understand a different kind of world, and we're thinking only of the world in time and space. Right. So I am saying, because it's unknown to many people, it is feared. And there are many people who go to the occult in order to understand the spirit beings, the spirit world. Right. Number 8. As ministering spirits in line with number 2, they have identities. See, now let me stop there and explain something. When I say something is identifiable, we tend to think that if something is unidentifiable, it must have a body. And that is not true. Because I can identify, I mentioned thoughts. Each one of them is separate in my mind, separate not spatially, but is clearly distinct. So there are, we don't need bodies. Now, if the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit are identifiable, they have identities, but they are not separate. And they constitute one being. They have no bodies. The Father doesn't have a body. The Son does not have a body. The Holy Spirit does not have a body. Yet, they are three identities. Three identities. So you must not make the mistake of, if I write the word identities, that I am saying that they have body. So let me put it in parentheses. Identities. They have identities, not bodies. Because bodies are extended in space. In space. I put those brackets in parentheses. I don't need the word space. If I say bodies, that's clear enough. That's what I mean. When I say not bodies, I mean they're not in space. The only time you can have a body is in space. There isn't any other kind of body. If you use the word body for something that is not in space, you are not using, you don't know the language then. The word body cannot be used in that sense. So, when I say they have identities, I am talking about self. They know they are intelligent. And they are personal. Number nine. When I say they are personal, I mean not mechanical. They are not like robots. They are not like toys that you push around. Now, God is personal, but he has no body. Number nine, as intelligent and personal, they have choices. That means they can love, they can praise God, they can fear God, if you like. I like to put a verb here. They have choices. And I will underline that word. And I'll stop on that word also. I did not say they had. Had is past tense. Past tense is usable only within the human realm. Only human beings discuss past tense. Angels are not in space. Therefore, there is no past tense. I have to say have, not had. You say had is acceptable to me if you're giving a sermon, but not in theology. You cannot talk about that in that way. See, now you can see why I am saying that this is not material to be played in the churches. This is not for that purpose. Number 10, because in a church, who is going to dare to explain past tense and present tense? Because in modern English today, people make grammatical mistakes all the time. They don't understand what you're talking about, past tense and present tense. When people speak, they say, I was laying in bed. And they don't tell you what they were laying in bed. But they don't know the difference between lie and lay. Many people don't. So you cannot explain that to that person. If you cannot explain that difference, you're not going to get very far with this. But you don't need to go into that kind of discussion for spiritual purposes in God's church. That member who makes a mistake in grammar is a converted Christian, and he has the Spirit of God, and he doesn't need grammar in order to be in the church of God. He does not need to be a theologian. He doesn't need to understand all the highfalutin statements and all the refined distinctions that we are making now for theological purposes. Why do I write this? To make a point later on. I need to make this point later on in order to show whether the contest between Satan and Eve was equal. And I am going to say that these powerful beings here, I'm going to say, no matter how many things I write in their favor, were a match for Eve. That she was capable of winning the battle over this angelic realm. If all the angels got together, they didn't have to win the battle. That's what I'm going to say in the end. Now, number 10. Since they are not in space. They do not have choices in a linear way.
Let me just put a line here to separate the two. Right. Since they are not in space, they do not have, let me, in this way, like that. Like that. But only one. Which has not stopped now. If you think that does not make sense, it doesn't make sense because I say which has not stopped. A decision has not stopped, yes, because we are discussing time. So I am saying that this means that when the angels were created, they were created to minister. They were created as ministering spirits. And they had to serve, to minister. And once they started to serve, they made their choice. And what happened there is, I'm sorry, what happened in the past tense, using my kind of language now, right? If I refer to the past. Now, I should not be referring to the past because the angels are not in the past. They are not in the past. They are not in the future. And they are only in the present. But what happened to them, if I may use the word happened in the past tense, is that they had a choice. Here's what we said. Where is that? They had a choice. Nine? Oh, thank you. They're right. Right, number nine. So, they have a choice to love God or to fear God or to go a different direction. So, they had this choice. God put before them two roads, one leading to life, another one leading to death. And one of them went and they became, some of them are good angels, and the others became bad angels. Now I have to write one more thing down. And they are now good or bad. And they are fixed. Let me write that. Fixed. One. Let me write that as a separate point. 11. According to 10. To 9 and 10. 9 and 10 together. In other words, 9 says they have choices. But I don't want to say they had choices. But once they are fixed, they don't have a choice. So these look as if they're contradictory, but they're not. That's why I put according to 9 and 10. Angels. Angelic character is fixed. Now, I'm tempted to say forever, but I don't like to say forever because it's time. We have, fixed. And 12... the good angels who When I say good, I mean holy.
Let me put holy, that's better. I don't like the word good.
Holy angels. They love God. They love... let me erase it from there and write it below. They love God. They love the image of God. They love the expression of God. And they love the utterance of God. Evil angels hate all these things, and they love the created, right? They love themselves. I'm talking about pride now. Pride. Now, maybe I'll put one more. Well, no, I will not. I'll put this scripture here. If you're interested in studying this scripture, that in Matthew 18 and verse 10, which I like to read. Take heed that you despise not one of these little ones. For I say to you that in heaven their angels do always behold the face of my Father which is in heaven. So these angels then, the holy angels, are able to behold the face of God. Whereas the others cannot possibly look at the face of God. So then, there's a difference. How much time do we have? 5 minutes. The difference between the angels then and men is this. That men are made of flesh. They have physical needs and spiritual needs. The angels have spiritual needs. So the needs of the angels are only spiritual, and their needs can be provided only by God. Man physically needs air and water and food, otherwise he suffers and he dies. The angels physically, spiritually, not physically, I can't speak physically of angels. So the angels spiritually need God. Otherwise, they suffer. But they cannot die. Because we said already they are immortal. They cannot die. So they hate. They hate things God made. I mean, the bad angels now. If they suffer and die, in other words, if their needs are not fulfilled, as in the case of the evil angels, they hate things And they hate the image of God. And you look at Luke chapter 8 and verse 32, where they preferred to go into the bellies of the pigs. Right? In other words, they did not want to look at Christ. They said, well, we don't want to look at you. Let us go into the pigs. You may say, what made them go into the pigs? Well, look, they are distorted in their thinking. They are distorted. They have the kind of distortion that I drew in this box. I wish I had the box there. Whatever has happened to man in distortion has happened to the angels too. Their mental ability is very limited, the capacity. Now, the evil that man can do, that I mentioned earlier on TV, right? The evil that man can do, the damage he can do, is considerable, is incalculable. You cannot calculate the kind of damage he can do by raping and killing and invading people's lives in the way he does. The evil he can do is tremendous. But his ability to comprehend what he is doing is very limited. So are the demons. Right. So they are perverted, and they think that if they go into the pig's bellies, they'll be happier. And they will not be happier. So I said, the angel's choice is, this one says, is a one-time act. That's it. A one-time act. And it's a pass or fail. Because they are spirit. And they live that decision at this time. So in one sense, if you really analyze this position, you will find that in the case of man, his ability, his earthly body, is a protection for him. If you sit down and analyze that, you will find man's being made of flesh is a wonderful protection, because he can change his mind, he can do all sorts of things on account of the way he is made. And the godly spirit also is a protection for him. But I'll mention that in a minute. I'm wondering if it is, since we have only, how much time do we have? 2 minutes. It may be good for me to stop here and pick it up next time, so that I want to explain, and I don't want to get into this question of the analysis of what happened in the Garden of Eden. So when I come back, it's good in that sense that we stop here, because it gives everybody time to digest this, right? And we'll come back and pick it up from there next time.